And together we are the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. We have on the line Dale Kaczmarek. Dale Kaczmarek is the president of the Ghost Research Society located in Illinois.
Welcome to the show, Dale.
Hi, my pleasure.
Now, what is the Ghost Research Society?
The Ghost Research Society is a membership organization that was founded back in 1977 to act as a clearinghouse for reports and also to for research and investigation into the topics of ghosts, hauntings, and poltergeist phenomena.
Would it be accurate to say that you are a real-life ghost buster?
Yeah, fairly accurate. I do research investigations. I visit locations, businesses, homes, private and public places that may have a ghost there and try to figure out what's going on and if need be to get rid of it if necessary.
Have you ever seen a real live or dead ghost?
No, I've never actually seen a ghost, but I've experienced them in other fashions, such as cold spots, feelings, and smells that may have been in locations that were not supposed to be there. I also have photographed them on a number of occasions, and some of our equipment that we bring along has registered anomalies of electromagnetic deviations and so forth that should not be there.
So how long have you been doing this?
I've been involved professionally now for over 20 years, but my interest goes all the way back to early childhood. I guess my parents got me started on this myself, and as they told me ghost stories when I was a youngster, and as I grew older, I just became more and more interested.
Now, what is a ghost? Is a ghost really the spirit of someone who died in a tragic form, or is it something else?
Well, that's the most often repeated scenario, is that a ghost is caused by an untimely death, either a murder or suicide, a car crash, a plane crash, something very sudden, very violent. But there are other reasons that ghosts can come back, simply to give a sign, to simply drop in, to see friends and loved ones, or sometimes come at moments of crisis to warn people that they loved that there's impending danger.
Now, the cases you research, about what percentage of them turn out to be the wind or a loose board or some other easily explained phenomenon, and what percentage of them turn out to be something that cannot be explained except with the supernatural?
Okay, basically what I do is I've actually divided them to three different categories, what we call natural explanations, paranormal explanations, and supernatural explanations. Most of the cases that I have worked on have had natural explanations. Probably maybe 70% or so have had maybe just natural explanations of, you know, things that are not ghostly at all. The maybe of the remaining 25%, possibly 20% fall into what I call paranormal. In other words, we don't know what's going on. It may be a ghost, it may not be a ghost, but we're not sure. It's just like in between. And then the other 5% perhaps are those that may actually have a supernatural entity, a ghost or a spirit of some kind.
Now, how do you get rid of them? You said you have removed them. How would you remove a ghost?
Garlic. Would garlic work?
No, I don't believe so. What we often do is we work with professional psychics. And psychic people that have worked with us very often can go into trance states or altered states of consciousness and communicate with something that may be there. Or they may see something that we're not able to see because they have a gift, a clairvoyant gift. And usually simply convincing a ghost to leave is how we get involved with that. Because for the most part, we believe that ghosts, some very often, do not realize that they have passed on because of their untimely death. And they simply hang around for a while and are being reported by people, sometimes at the place where they died, or the times places where they have lived or spent a great deal of their time.
Now, how can a ghost be dangerous? Can they actually pick up a lamp and hit you with it? Or, I mean, if they can pass through walls, how can they then have the capability to pick up solid objects?
Well, most cases, ghosts don't do that. In other words, where you have movements of objects, levitations of objects, for the most part, that's usually caused by a living person, a living agent. It's called psychokinesis, or mind over matter. In the cases of poltergeist phenomena, where there are flying objects, it's usually caused by an adolescent going through the ages of, say, 12, 13 years old up to maybe 18, 19 years of age, going through puberty. Ghosts very often do not move physical objects. I mean, there are exceptions to the rule, but usually a ghost does not have the energy to move something around. Usually they either are seen, they're felt, they're heard, or they're smelled. Usually objects moving around are caused by other factors.
They're smelled. You can smell a ghost?
Sometimes something will be left behind by a ghost, such as an odor of flowers or perfume, aftershave, cologne, it may be cigarettes, pipe tobacco, cooking odors, something that might mean something to that person, that spirit, something that they wore, a certain style of cologne or a certain flower that they were very fond of.
In case you just tuned in, we're talking to Dale Kazmarek, the president of the Ghost Research Society. Dale, since tonight's Halloween, could you lay a really good true-life ghost story on us, maybe something that you've investigated?
Sure. One of the most interesting stories here and around this area, the Chicagoland area, that I've done a lot of research on.
Oh, that's another thing. Why do they call it Chicagoland? We don't call Cincinnati Cincinnati Land.
Well, when I say Chicagoland, it's basically encompassing not only Chicago, but the metropolitan area, sort of the suburbs right around the hub of Chicago.
And the Ghost Research Society is located where?
We're located in Oak Lawn, which is just southwest of the city for about maybe 10 or 15 miles.
Oak Lawn, okay. And on with the chilling ghost story.
I just want to interject here before we go any further.
Okay.
Sure.
Now, if you know deep in your heart, you know this is true. If Ohio State was to play Northwestern this year, it would be an absolute slaughter, with the purple Wildcats of Northwestern being strewn about the field helpless.
Well, I don't know. I know they're doing a real good job over here. They're undefeated right now in the Big Ten.
So's Ohio State, but unfortunately the two teams don't play.
Right.
Okay, go ahead. Tell us a ghost story.
Okay, one of the most interesting ones that I've investigated and have spent a lot of time is one called a ghost nicknamed Resurrection Mary, who has often been seen near Resurrection Cemetery, which is in South Suburban Justice.
Now, ghosts don't usually haunt cemeteries, do they? Because everybody in a cemetery is dead and there's no place to haunt.
Exactly, and this ghost does not haunt the cemetery. She haunts the stretch of roadway next to the cemetery, because this is apparently where she was struck and killed by an automobile in the mid-1930s. And ever since the 1930s, she has been seen by passing motorists, by cab drivers, truck drivers. In fact, a cab driver in January of 1979 picked up a girl near the just two blocks down from the Willowbrook Ballroom. He was a little bit lost, did not know where he was. He thought he'd give this girl a free lift, get some directions back towards the airport. She was very strangely quiet in the cab. It would only say, "Take me down Archer." A little bit further down the road, after a long silence and no directions given to her, given to him from her, she suddenly blurted out something like, "This is the place," or "Stop, I need to get out here." And when he turned around to see what she had meant, there was no longer a girl in the cab. The cab door had not been opened. The cab was still in motion, and he noticed that he was right near the main gates of the Resurrection Cemetery, a large Polish Catholic cemetery. Its house is about 150,000 graves. And this has been going on fairly frequently since the mid-1930s, of people seeing her walking along the road, disappearing near the main gates, sometimes seeing like she's a glow that's giving off her own light. We think it's because of the way she died, a very tragic death, being a hit-and-run automobile victim out there. And she may, in fact, be trying to get back to her home, but as she passes the cemetery, she suddenly realizes this is where she actually belongs, and she disappears near the cemetery gates.
Now, do ghosts usually haunt for that long, for, you know, 60 years?
Well, there are examples in England, for instance, of ghosts haunting for centuries. There are reports of Queen Anne Boleyn's ghost and King Henry VIII that are still seen in castles and manor houses that were significant to them while they were alive.
Queen Anne had her head cut off?
Yeah, Queen Anne was one of several. Queen Anne Boleyn and Lady Jane Grey and others had their heads cut off by their husband, King Henry VIII, and they have been seen sometimes headless, holding their head underneath their arms, and sometimes with their head.
What's the most famous ghost you've ever investigated?
The most famous ghost I ever investigated. Probably Resurrection Mary.
Have you ever been to Amityville?
I've never been to Amityville, but I have been to the Winchester House, which is in San Jose, California. It's a house that Sarah Winchester lived in. She was the heir to the Winchester rifle fame, and it was thought that she was being haunted by all of those that were killed by the Winchester rifle. And she bought this eight-room farmhouse, I should say, and then she was told by psychics that as long as she kept building on this house, she would be safe from the angry ghosts that were killed by the Winchester rifle. And the house ended up being a 160-room mansion, and 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, building was continued on there. You have stairways that go up to the ceiling and stop in midair. Doors open up to blank walls. There's doors that open up to nowhere. It's a very unique house, and it's a house that has had paranormal activity going on ever since her death.
Ooh.
Wow. I never heard of that one either. I need to read up on these ghosts.
Now, what's the difference between a ghost and a poltergeist?
Well, ghost is actually thought to be a spirit of a dead person that for some reason has had a reason to come back, either an untimely death or to see something done. Where a poltergeist is actually what's called psychokinesis, or mind over matter. In other words, caused by a living person and not by a spirit at all. Even though the term poltergeist means noisy ghost in German, it is thought that, and many parapsychologists believe that now poltergeist activity are caused by living people using their own power of their mind to move objects around subconsciously or unconsciously without realizing it.
What's a doppelganger?
A doppelganger actually is what's called a double image. In other words, sometimes people have seen themselves standing next to somebody else. It's like seeing a double image. It's a German word meaning double image. It's a very rare phenomenon, but sometimes has been seen in haunted houses where there's like a double image of a person. It's almost like that your spirit has left your body temporarily and went on a little journey of some kind that's being seen at two places at the same time.
Is it possible to photograph a ghost?
Oh, yes. There are many photographs that have come throughout the ages, dating all the way back to the early time of photography.
Well, what about that one ghost that was supposed to be in that one movie about the three men and a baby? Remember hearing about that?
Yes, I do.
What's that story, and do you think that's a real ghost?
Well, it's something that we're still doing some work on. We believe it may, in fact, be a real ghost, only because the story that Disney Productions gives for their explanation doesn't add up. Basically,
well, what does Disney say it is, and you tell us what you think it is? And in case nobody's ever seen the movie, give us a little background.
Sure. And there's a scene in Three Men and a Baby when Ted Danson goes to visit his mother, Celeste Holm, at her apartment, and he's trying to give his mother the baby because he's a playboy, basically. He doesn't want to be burdened down with a child. And as he walks into the room and begins then to walk back out, on the motion picture, if you look over his right shoulder in the window, you'll see a figure standing very, very still. It looks like he's kind of peering through the window. You can see his whole entire figure. And as he walks out, the figure is very still. Now, Disney Productions said that this is a cardboard cutout of Ted Danson that it was misplaced, it was simply put in the window. Now, that doesn't make any sense, because why would a cardboard cutout of Ted Danson be doing in his mother's bedroom window? I mean, if it was, he had sort of an Art Deco style apartment, I could see that maybe being in his apartment, but surely not in the mother's apartment. A woman who had seen the movie, soon after seeing the movie, had called Disney Productions and said that figure looked like her son, who had died many years before, and the apartment that she thought that this was being filmed in, she thought at one time they had lived in. Disney had told them that this was not the case. It was filmed in a studio and not an apartment at all. I have examined the photograph. I've gotten still frames from the motion picture, and I have been trying to computer enhance the photograph where I've been able to try to determine what actually it is. It's very hard to get some good resolution on the face, but it sure does not look like a cardboard cutout of Ted Danson. It does look like a little young boy with a hat on his head, basically with the brim straight up, and just standing very still.
It seems to me like it'd be pretty easy to find out if that motion picture was shot on location or on a sound set.
Yes. And basically, again, I think this was Walt Disney's, Disney Productions' way of just coming up with an explanation. They don't, I guess they didn't want the their motion picture to be associated with a possible ghost story. So perhaps they just tried to maybe muddy the water here a little bit to make it unclear of what was going on.
So how hard is it to photograph a ghost? You're just saying that it's really easy, but I've heard that no ghost can be photographed.
No, we have many examples on film. I have probably hundreds of photographs that people have sent me, and I've been doing research on photographs for 15, 20 years now. There are photographs that are depicted in various books on the subject of spirit photography, and in many of the ghost books that I have in my library. Ghosts can basically assume any type of form, from strange lights to shadowy figures to misty formations or cloudy patches to actual semi-transparent figures. And we have examples on all different types of film, from 35 millimeter to SX70, Polaroid Instamatic cameras, 110, 126, and even videotape. And basically, it's just a matter of being in the right place at the right time. Most people who take allegedly spirit photographs are photographing something else. In other words, they may be photographing a birthday party, a wedding, a funeral, a gathering, a picnic, or something, when something shows up either in the background or in the foreground. A figure that they may not see at the time, but when they get the film back, suddenly there's an image there, either in the foreground or in the background, of something what we call a paranormal extra. It shouldn't be there, so it's a little extra added feature. And sometimes these can be from, as I mentioned, from cloudy patches through the whole gamut up to semi-transparent figures.
Dale Kaczmarek, you are the president of the Ghost Research Society.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody thinks they have a ghost living in their attic or their basement or their house, or that they think maybe they have a haunting, should they call you?
Well, they can call me, or they can either write to me. I can give you the phone number.
If you want to give it over the air, go right ahead.
Sure. The phone number is area code 708-425-5163. And usually the best time to reach me is between the hours of 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, or Central Daylight Savings Time. And or they can write to me in care of the Ghost Research Society, and that's at Post Office Box 205 in Oak Lawn, Illinois. It's two words, O-A-K-L-A-W-N, Illinois. And the zip code is 60454.
Do you get a lot of calls from people who think they have a ghost in their house?
I get a lot of calls from people, not just this time of the year, but pretty much year-round, from not only private homes, but sometimes businesses and public places, restaurants, bowling alleys, lounges, places where a lot of people go in and out on a daily basis.
There's a hick bar in Kentucky that's supposed to have a ghost. You don't want to go there, though. What's it called?
I don't know.
Bobby Mackey's?
That's some kind of hick bar.
Ever hear of Bobby Mackey's?
Bobby Mackey's Music World. Yes, I have.
Have you ever heard about that ghost?
Yes, I have. In fact, there's been a book written about that just recently called Hell's Gate.
Yeah!
It was written by a man named Douglas Hensley. And basically, there's been a lot of activity out there. Apparently, the building at one time had a very bloody past.
And they got the bull out there. You can ride the bull.
Exactly.
And have you ever stopped in there for a drink?
No, I've never been to Bobby Mackey's yet.
Well, if you ever come out this way, Chris and Rob will take you down there for a cold one and hopefully a ghost.
Oh, I appreciate that.
All right, what's a haint?
A haint?
In To Kill a Mockingbird, they wrote something about a haint. Is that just a ghost?
A haint basically is a haunt or a haunting. It's usually a it's a different variation of the term haunt. Sometimes in the southern states, they call it a haint. Usually in folklore and folk tradition, they will call it a haint rather than a ghost or a haunting.
What about zombies? Do you ever investigate zombies?
No, I never have, but there are a lot of cases of zombies and voodoo and so forth down in New Orleans. I visited that location several times.
Oh, that's right. They drink chicken blood down there.
Well, I don't know if they drink it, but sometimes they use it in their rituals, from what I understand.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Wish him a happy Halloween.
Happy Halloween, Dale.
Thank you.
And good luck hunting ghosts.
My pleasure.
All right.
Thank you.
Bye. It's time for a little zombie music. This is the Chris and Rob Late Night Talk Show. 749-1444 is the phone number.